This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
This is Karen Hales reading Discover Magazine, April 2024. Health. Everything to know about cholesterol. The latest science on how blood levels of HDL, LDL, and more relate to cardiovascular health. When C. Michael Gibson of Boston saw his doctor in the spring of 2023, the blood test results were confusing. His cholesterol levels were decent. He was taking statins to keep the quote-unquote bad cholesterol low, but the arteries delivering blood to his heart were nonetheless crammed with dangerous plaque. "It doesn't make sense," says Gibson, himself a cardiologist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. So Gibson asked his physician to check his blood for a specific kind of cholesterol called lipobutyrin, and there was an explanation. He had more than double the amount of that cholesterol. Gibson turned out to be one of the unlucky people who inherited a predisposition towards high lipoprotein levels. He suspects that his grandfather died of a heart attack at age 45, had it too. About 1 in 5 have this unfortunate heritage, and there's nothing they can do to combat it. But soon, that might change. Scientists are researching medications that can lower lipoproteins, as well as other approaches that could slash the risk of cardiovascular disease more than drugs like statins can. Statins, approved in the 1980s to lower levels of low-density lipoprotein, LDL cholesterol, have been a life-saving tool. They cut the risk of heart attack and stroke by 50% for more than the 200 million people globally who take the medications. Yet, even statin takers still get heart disease, and some still die. Cardiovascular disease remains one of the leading causes of death in the United States and across the world. Clearly, there's something missing from the cholesterol picture. The picture coming into focus incorporates not only just the bad LDL cholesterol and the good high-density lipoprotein HDL cholesterol, but also the lipoproteins and a poorly understood substance called remnant cholesterol. Researchers aim to minimize all of these except HDL, and HDL cholesterol itself, though it's understood to be beneficial, has turned out to be more complex than anticipated. Various attempts to raise HDLs haven't improved people's health beyond what statins already achieve. Yet, despite this and other disappointments in which medicines haven't panned out exactly as planned, many researchers also feel optimistic about the treatments currently in the clinical trials. "It's really an exciting time," says Stephen Nicholas, a cardiologist at Monash Health in Melbourne, Australia. LDL cholesterol. Though it gets a bad rap among the health conscious, cholesterol plays an important role in our body. It helps to control the ability of the stability and fluidity of cell membranes and is an important starting ingredient for making hormones such as testosterone and estrogen. What matters for our health is the company that the cholesterol molecule keeps when it travels. Its waxy nature means it can't mix well with water, so it can't pass through the bloodstream on its own. Lone cholesterol molecules would separate out like oil does in water. Cholesterol's solution is to join up with complexes of proteins and fats called lipoproteins that carry it around. These lipoprotein carriers, LDL, HDL, and other types. Cholesterol, in addition to being a cargo, is a structural part of these carriers too. Lipoproteins are made in the gut and liver, and they deliver the cholesterol and fat to the body tissues. Fat goes to the muscles to be used for energy, or to fat tissue for storage. Cholesterol is dropped off in the tissues to be incorporated into the cell membranes and made into hormones. Cholesterol can also be returned to the liver where it can be restored and incorporated into new lipoproteins, turned into bile acids used by the digestive system to break down fats or to be excreted. When the delivery particles from the liver have dropped off most of their fats, they become LDL particles, which are still jam-packed with cholesterol. The problem happens when these LDL particles, instead of returning to the liver to be recycled, squeeze into the blood vessel walls and get chemically modified. There, they incite or exacerbate an immune reaction called inflammation. In response, immune cells come to eat the LDL particles. But if they eat too much, they can get stuck in the blood vessel wall. This forms the beginnings of an atherosclerotic plaque. Over time, that plaque accumulates more cholesterol, more fat, and more immune cells, reducing the space through which the blood can flow and deliver oxygen to the tissues. If a plaque limits the blood supply to the heart, it might cause chest pains called anemia. A plaque might also lead to the formation of blood clot, which can break off and clog vessels elsewhere. The clot might cause a stroke in the brain, for example, or a heart attack. Today, it's clear. The less LDL cholesterol in the bloodstream, the better. Statins are good at achieving this, cutting LDL cholesterol by up to half. And for those who need a bigger effect or who can't tolerate statins, which causes sometimes muscle pain or weakness and is an occasional side effect, there are newer medicines. We now have the ability to get almost everyone's LDL level down to the range that we would consider appropriate, says Stephen Nelson, a cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. The lipoprotein A. But these LDL cholesterol treatments generally don't do much against the lipoprotein A, pronounced lipoprotein little a. This substance, comprised of LDL cholesterol particles plus an extra protein, is mysterious. Scientists don't know what its natural job is, though, since an lipoprotein A has some similarity to being a protein involved in blood clotting, it might have a role in wound healing. But it can't be all that important to animal survival. Weirdly, the gene that carries the instructions for making the lipoprotein A is found in only certain primates. It's also unclear why lipoprotein little a is such a bad version of cholesterol, but is clearly up to no good most of the time. It delivers cholesterol to the blood vessels like the LDL does, promotes blood clotting that blocks arteries, and can cause inflammation and increase the risk of clots. And if your lipoprotein little a is too high, too bad. Statins won't bring it down. Exercise doesn't get it down, and diet doesn't get it down. Some of the newer LDL cholesterol-lowering drugs can reduce lipoprotein little a cholesterol, I'll bet, but probably not enough to make it significantly reduce cardiovascular risk, says Anhan Rotana, a cardiologist at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. The only thing physicians can do in extreme cases is to regularly administer a blood-cleaning procedure called apheresis to remove the lipoprotein little a. For a long time, the doctors ignored lipoprotein little a. Nobody measured it because you could not do anything about it, says Prika Gabo, a cardiologist at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. That might be about to change now that several groups are testing medicines that target the substance. Gabo got her own levels checked at a cardiology conference where booths were offered free testings that have sprung up recently. Many of these experimental medications use genetic technology to silence the apoprotein little a gene. In a handful of small studies involving dozens to several hundred subjects, each different apoprotein A silencing therapies cut the lipoprotein little a levels by varying levels from no change, some all the way up to 92%. But it isn't yet known whether cutting lipoprotein little a will actually reduce cardiovascular problems. We won't know for a while, says Leslie Klo, a cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic who's co-leading one of the trials. Klo's Horizon study, the furthest along, is testing a lipoprotein little a gene silencing treatment compared to a placebo in more than 8,300 people with high lipoprotein little a and a history of heart problems such as heart attacks or strokes. The hope is that by reducing the lipoprotein little a, we will decrease the rate of heart attacks, strokes, and the need for medical procedure to improve blood flow and death. But the Horizon isn't expected to have its results until 2025. Another trial that GABA is involved in, called Ocean A Outcomes, is testing a similar approach in about 6,000 people, but is not expected to be completed until the end of 2026. HDL cholesterol. Just as lipoprotein little a and LDL cholesterol are known as the baddies, HDL cholesterol has long been considered a good guy. HDL particles are thought to help by sucking cholesterol out of the plaques. Then HDL takes this cholesterol to the liver for recycling and disposal. It's the cardiovascular system's cholesterol of a garbage truck, says Bob Urich, a retired cardiometabolic physician and professor emeritus at the University of California, Amherst Medical Campus. If high levels of HDL are good, scientists reason then that more of this cleanup crew should be even better. Exercising and weight loss can raise HDL cholesterol. Scientists have tried to do the same with medications, but with disappointing results. The drugs did raise HDL cholesterol, yes, but they didn't save lives in the people that were already on statins, and they were weaker than statins at stopping heart attacks and strokes. To sum it up very simplistically, approaches to raise HDL failed. Nothing really works, says Enra Kobosh, a lipid biochemist at the Sorbonne University in Paris. It's not clearly why raising HDL cholesterol in statin takers bombed. It might be the idea of boosting HDL cholesterol was simply wrong. High HDL cholesterol might be a marker for good cardiovascular health, but a direct cause of it, says Robitaux. If so, artificially amplifying the levels doesn't help. But the problem might also have been a very oversimplistic understanding of the HDL cholesterol. Scientists now know that HDL comes in many types and can do many jobs. In addition to hovering up cholesterol from plaques, it can fight inflammation. That's good. But sometimes HDL can turn into bad and promote inflammation instead, Close says, though it's not clear how. And she adds people who are genetically wired to make too much HDL have an enhanced risk for heart disease. One problem may be that various drugs meant to amplify HDL cholesterol focus on the quantity over quality and increase the wrong kind of HDL. For example, one promising category of drugs reach HDL by inhibiting enzyme and transferred cholesterols away from the HDL particles, giving it to LDL particles. Several studies found these inhibitors failed to improve heart health. It might be that stopping the transfer of cholesterol away from the HDL particles means that these particles had less capacity to pick up new cholesterol from plaques, leaving the cholesterol to languish there. In other words, these garbage trucks were already full. So, the new plan, a last-ditch effort to save lives with HDL, is to help HDL do its cholesterol removal job better, rather than to just make more of it. Gibson, for example, is chairing a clinical trial of a medicine called CSL112. It's made from the key protein components of HDL particles. That is, it's the starting material for HDL particles, but still empty of cholesterol. These CSL112 molecules seem to work by creating new HDL molecules primed to pack as much cholesterol as they possibly can hold. In a preliminary study of more than 1,200 people, two-thirds of them received CSL112 infusions. The treatment was safe. And when the scientists took the blood samples for lab results, they found that the higher doses of CSL112 participants received, the more their blood was able to suck up the cholesterol. In another study called AEGIS2, the researchers tested the CSL112 infusions in a larger group of people who had just suffered a heart attack and could be the most likely to benefit from the treatment. Following 18,200 people for a year, it asked whether the CSL112 prevents second heart attacks, strokes, and deaths in the population. That's a really big definitive study, and if it doesn't work, then I suspect the field will completely abandon HDL, says Nichols some months back. In mid-February, the makers of CSL112, which is a company called CSL of King of Persia, Pennsylvania, announced that the study did not achieve its main goal of reducing major cardiac events such as a stroke, heart attack, or death. The researchers are still analyzing the data and will present the results in more in-depth at the American College of Cardiology conference in April. Triglycerides. If the HDL waters seem murky, the situation with triglycerides, the fatty component of blood that's carried around in the lipoprotein matters, is muddier still. The amount a person depends on life's the amount a person has depends on lifestyle, diet, exercise, and so on. High triglycerides are linked to the greater risk for cardiovascular disease, and very high levels can lead to inflammation to the pancreas, known as pancreatitis. Thus, it made sense to posit that getting rid of the triglycerides would be a healthy thing to do, and many studies have attempted just that, with boggling results. One top candidate to reduce triglyceride is fish oil, which is high in the omega-3 fatty acids. Diets rich in fatty fish or omega-3s have been long linked to lower risk of cardiovascular problems. The fish or fish oil supplements are thought to have worked by cutting down on the fat production of the liver. So a study called Reduce It, researchers tested a highly purified derivative of EPA in more than 4,000 people with cardiovascular disease or diabetes. They compared these patients with a similar number of people who received an inert mineral oil such as a placebo. At first glance, the results reported in 2019 look very spectacular, says Nicholas, who wasn't involved in the trial. In the group that had taken the EPA for about 5 years, risk of major cardiovascular problems or death dropped by 25% or more compared with those getting a placebo. But oddly, this benefit came without a big reduction in the triglycerides themselves. In other words, if the EPA is working, it's doing something other than lowering triglycerides, says Kenneth Van Borkold, an endocrinologist and emeritus professor at the medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. EPA might counter inflammation, for example, or stabilize the membranes of the heart cells. Based on reduced it results, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the purified EPA derivative in 2019 as a medicine for people with high triglycerides and other cardiovascular risk factors. But things got more confusing in 2020 when Nicholas Nyssen and colleagues published another trial called Strength. This study also aimed to lower triglycerides in high-risk patients, about 6,500 of them, using EPA plus DHA. The research compared these patients to people who had received a corn oil placebo. But the team halted their study early because although the triglyceride levels did fall, EPA plus DHA didn't seem to have any beneficial effect on the rate of heart attack, stroke, hospitalization, or heart problems, or death. Researchers are still debating why Reduce-It did show some promise, but Strength faltered. Looking back at Reduce-It, some experts see a problem with the mineral oil placebo that was used. LDL cholesterol levels and signs of inflammation went up in that group, and if the control participants were worse off if they received than nothing at all, then their data would make the experimental treatment look better than it really was. But Gibson, who was part of the Reduce-It team, argues for a different explanation, that pure EPA is better than EPA plus the DHA combo. And supporting Reduce-It's conclusion, he points to an older 1990s study that compared people taking EPA plus statins with people taking statins alone and also found fewer major coronary events in the EPA group. Then, in 2022, came the latest blow to a promising idea of lowering triglycerides. The prominent trial in which Echo and colleagues tested a drug called permafervid that reduces blood triglycerides. The 10,000-plus participants had type 2 diabetes, high triglycerides, and low HDL, and were at risk for cardiovascular events. But even though the triglyceride levels fell by 26% on average in the group receiving the drug, this made no difference at the rate of the cardiovascular events. Taken together, the results suggest that the triglycerides indicate poor cardiovascular health without being the reason behind them. Triglycerides are just innocent bystanders, concludes Eccles. The exception, he adds, might be the people with very high triglycerides who are at risk of pancreatitis and might still benefit from the triglyceride-lowering treatment. Remnant cholesterol. This is a loosely used term, with science still to be settled. In the doctor's office, physicians assume that any cholesterol that isn't HDL or LDL is a leftover or quote-unquote remnant fraction. From a molecular viewpoint, remnant cholesterol is a fat-delivering lipoprotein in an intermediate state. It left the liver, loaded with fat and cholesterol, and has dropped off some of its triglycerides in the body's tissues, but not so much of its cargo that it's become an LDL lipoprotein. Criminal microns from the gut, once depleted of fats, also become remnant particles. In people with healthy metabolism, the body quickly disposes of the remnant particles. But if a person has a problem such as diabetes or obesity, these fatty remnants might stick around. Remnant cholesterol may accumulate in the atherosclerotic plaques, potentially making it as dangerous as the classic bad LDL cholesterol. Indeed, high levels of remnant cholesterol have been linked to cardiovascular disease in some studies, quite independently of a patient's LDL cholesterol measurements. This suggests that getting rid of these remnants could also be beneficial. The substances remain a bit of a black box, though. We don't know precisely how to define them. We don't know how precisely to measure them. So it's kind of difficult to be precise about the remnants, says Fengold. Nonetheless, some researchers are interested in treatments that might target remnants in addition to or instead of triglycerides. For example, Nicholas Marson, a cardiologist at the Brigham and Women's and colleagues are testing a medication called olezarsen that he says appears to promote clearance of the cholesterol-carrying particles, but it will take more study to learn if that translates into fewer cardiovascular problems. Remnant cholesterol is quote-unquote probably important, says Nissen, so even though the science is still nascent, he says it's still hopeful and that the potential treatments are targeting it. In sum, the emerging picture is one that in which certain forms of HDL cholesterol are good and all the other lipoproteins are bad. The best approach, experts say, may be to reduce all the non-HDL cholesterols, whether by diet or exercise or some of the new medicines, should they prove to be effective. If it's not HDL, we should minimize it, says Fengold. The lower, the better. Planet Earth. The 2024 cicada emergence is coming. Here's everything you need to know. In 2024, cicada broads from the 13-year to the 17-year cycles will emerge at the same time. Here's what we need to know about the event. In April 2024, the cicadas are starting to buzz. Reports of the cicada broads emerging in the south of the United States are underway. The insect's signature high-pitched and alarming sound has already led some people to call law enforcement in South Carolina to report a siren-like noise. However, that noise is not a siren, but the periodical cicadas. These cicadas broads 13 and 17 emerge in cycles of 13 to 17 years. It's estimated that in 2024, trillions of cicadas will emerge from different states in the southern United States and the Midwest. Although they won't emerge all at the same time, here's what you need to know about the cicadas and their long-awaited emergence. Why the cicada emergence is happening. The reason why cicada emergence is happening is because two cicada broads, the 13-year-old broad called Broad XIX, the Great Southern Broad, and the 17-year-old broad called Broad X2, the Great Northern Illinois Broad, are coming back at the same time. This happens every 221 years. These broads will not only emerge simultaneously, but they'll also intermingle with each other despite differing life cycles. Since the 13 and the 17-year-old broads emerge every 5 to 6 years during the same year, they usually don't have contact with each other. The last time 13 and 17-year-old periodical cicada broads crawled from the ground was in 1998, and the last time they emerged together was in 1803. The life cycles of the cicada broads. Periodical cicada broads are cyclical. They have the longest life cycle for insects. Once one hatches from an egg, it will spend 17 years underground, eating and tunneling. The small insects suck on the plant roots, grow up to about the size of an ant, to almost full size as a full-grown cicada. Some experts suspect cicadas spend most of their lives underground to avoid predators. But when the cicadas reach the surface, they only live for a few weeks. During this time, they will mate and lay eggs, and then the nearly two-decade-long cycle will begin. Aside from these groups, some cicadas that are not part of them might emerge too. These are called the quote-unquote off-cycle cicadas or stragglers, and climate changes that might cause them. During May or late April of the 13th or 17th year, the baby cicadas emerge at dusk, crawl up the trees, fences, weeds, and poles to shed their final form. Like their recently hatched forms, the new molted adult cicadas are soft and cream-colored. After some time passes, their light body skins darken and their wings turn to orange. Then, the winged creatures are ready to take off and fly into the night. When will the emergence start? The circadian emergence will start in late spring or early summer. The insects are reliant on soil temperatures when the ground temperatures reach 64 degrees. They know it's time to come up to the surface. This is why cicadas emerge in the south before they do in the northern states. Researchers suspect that insects that have an internal clock that cues them from their environment to know that it has been 17 years. Where will the cicadas emerge? Cicadas are primarily found in eastern, midwestern, and southern parts of the United States, specifically where trees and shrubs are abundant. The broads are within these ranges. The sound of cicadas. Male cicadas are the loudest with the distinct songs. The first one is called a congressional song that is influenced by the weather and other chorusing males. This song establishes the insect territory and attracts mates. The males also have a particular lovemaking song that they play before they mate with a lady cicada. The sounds might be loud to ward off predators, and the loudest of all the cicadas, nature's sirens, are the periodical cicadas, or the ones emerging this year. However, this might be because of the number of males competing all at once, screaming like a competition. Female cicadas don't produce these loud songs, elaborate songs. Instead, they have a high-pitched call. They use their wings to make clicking noises. Strange things happen during the cicada emergence. Some cicadas this year will fall victim to a parasitic fungus that makes them into zombies. The fungus, called Merkus cicada, forces the cicadas to flick their wings in a way that tracks cicadas of both sexes to infect others with the spores. The wing flick is only seen in the female cicadas, but males will imitate the flick to inflict other males once infected. The spores can also infect nymphs that emerge in the next 13 to 17 years. The spores are highly noticeable and will appear as a white powdery growth on the ends of the cicada's abdominals. This is Karen.